Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Oh boy, do we have a lot to talk about with Dr. Raymond Fittipaldo. Everybody loves Raymond. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Ray, wonderful to be joined by you again. And I'm going to start out with what I think is an obvious question. The Steelers would have a much, much better chance to win in Houston than Baltimore, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I know a lot of people want to point to the fact that the Steelers have had the Ravens number lately. Even knowing that one in Baltimore a few weeks ago didn't go their way. But if you're just looking at, you know, the way teams are playing, injuries, I mean, the Texans, you know, 2/3 of their receiving core is down. They're not coming back. Stroud isn't having the season he had last year. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think the Steelers have a much better chance of winning in Houston than they would in Baltimore.
Do you think the Steelers would win in Houston? That's my next question, because you mentioned C.J. Stroud. I thought in the Ravens game, not the Ravens game. I said the Ravens game earlier. He was not good in that game. The Kansas City game, I thought he looked very good in that game.
Yeah.
Do you think they would win that game?
I think it would be a coin flip, Joe. You know, I think there's something to be said for home field advantage. Houston was there last year. They get another shot at it. But, you know, the Steelers with Russell Wilson, you know, if George Pickens is right, if that offense can score, you know, 24-27, I think they could win that game. But, I'm not going to say the Steelers are definitely going to win that game. But, I think it would be much closer than if it was in Baltimore, that's for sure.
Ray, how do the Steelers have to finish the season to leave you satisfied?
Ooh.
Probably at least one playoff win, and then that divisional round don't get blown out, you know, make it look like you're in it. I go back to, you know, the year the Steelers lost to the Browns. The Browns went to Kansas City the following week and really gave the Chiefs a good ball game. I remember Chad Henne had to come in and ice that game after Mahomes got hurt. So, you know, I'm not saying you have to get to a championship game for this to be a successful season. But, I think the divisional round, you can't go there and lose by 21 or 24 either. I think that would be a sour end in my mind.
Ray, there seems to be some communication problems, to put it mildly. And I've developed a theory here just today, as a matter of fact, that this George Pickens situation could be emblematic of larger problems with communication that we see on defense, for example, week after week after week. The coach, the quarterback, and the coordinator aren't even on the same page publicly as to what George right. Pickens did on that play, let alone Pickens himself. He's not on the record at all on that play. Is that little issue right there and the lack of any chain of communication emblematic of a larger issue within the building and on the football field?
I think you said it, Joe, when you said what Mike Tomlin says publicly. He doesn't tell us the truth all the time, and I think this is definitely a situation where he's not telling us the truth. And, you know, what happens behind closed doors, whether George was, you know, confronted about that by Mike, that, you know, remains to be seen. But I thought it was clear by what Arthur Smith said, by what Russell Wilson said after the game and again this week that, that route was supposed to be run in a certain way and it was not. So, are there communication issues? Yeah, but I think things are being handled behind closed doors in a much different way than they're being handled before the media.
Ray, where do you think things stand with George Pickens right now? And could tomorrow night possibly be his final home game with the Steelers?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to acknowledge that's a possibility. Look at Antonio Brown was traded in March. Martavis Bryant was traded in March. The Steelers have a long history of dealing guys for draft picks, in the spring. And George's situation is not unlike those. There are issues there that go back years. He's had time to rectify things, and really he hasn't. So unless they're able to get that situated here before the spring, I think that's a possibility. I wouldn't give him away. I wouldn't just trade him for the sake of trading him. But if there's an offer out there where you could recoup a first or a second round pick, I think they would think long and hard about that.
Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette. Read his stuff at postgazette.com. Wonderful coverage of the Steelers. All right, Ray. This was uncovered by our friend Dr. Michael DeFaba. This is unbelievable, actually. And a complete indictment of Tomlin and Arthur Smith. The Steelers have run 435 first down plays this season. They rank last in first down efficiency, averaging just 4.6 yards per play. Last. And Ray, to me, it's emblematic of the Steelers trying to be, the tough guy on the block here, the neighborhood bully. They use three tight ends all the time. On over 20% of those first downs I just mentioned, 435 of them. On 20% of those, they line up with three tight ends because they're the big bad Steelers. They've averaged 2.8 yards per play on those plays, including 2.2 on running plays. I would say that suggests that the entire sort of theme of these Steelers from the moment Andy Weidel came in and Arthur Smith has failed.
Well, I mean, Joe, that's who they want to be, but that's not who they are right now. And I think it's up to Arthur Smith to break those tendencies going into the playoffs. Listen, I'll bring up that first Bengals game on December 3rd. I thought that was a really good job by Arthur and Mike Tomlin to break tendencies and to throw on first down and, to put the game in the hands of your quarterback. And, maybe they're waiting too long. Maybe they should have unleashed that earlier, but they're fully capable of turning that around. That's not something that, it would be much worse, Joe, than if they had like all kinds of injuries going into the playoffs and there was no way to solve them. What you just laid out there is easily solved. Joe, go back to the 2005 playoff run. It was handoff. We got a second-year quarterback. We want to protect him. And then, boom, they let Ben go. And they
good point.
The Bengals game, they let him go in that game. Came out throwing against the Colts. They were up, 21-3 in that game. So, those tendencies are easily broken. And I'm not going to tell you that, Arthur and Mike are waiting to do that in the playoffs, but I think that's certainly something that can be fixed relatively easily.
Let me expound upon that with another stat from that story. On 22 first down plays, 22 of them, Ray and Donnie and City Limits, how could I forget about you? And Happy New Year in there.
Happy New Year to you too, and to you, Ray.
22 first down plays with three tight ends plus Harris and Connor Hayward on the field. They're averaging 1.3 yards per carry. So that's 22 first downs where you probably it ruined a series 22 times. That's unbelievable to me. The lack of production, the bullheadedness there. Again, it's we're the big bad Steelers. We don't care if you know we're going to run. We're going to line up and do it anyway because that's how we built our team.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not a big fan of Connor Hayward lining up at fullback. I don't remember many of those plays working or Connor, you know, blasting a hole open that sprung one of those guys. Michael Pruitt, the same thing. You know, Pruitt isn't lining up as a fullback as often, but I would imagine that, some of the numbers are probably similar when Pruitt's on the field too. So, their best personnel package might be just, 12 personnel with Freiermuth and Washington in the game. Get your best skill guys out there. Maybe that's something that they'll do more in the playoffs. But I'm with you. And I think a lot of people have been on that train for a few weeks now. The H-backs, the constant need to feel like you have to get guys like Hayward and Pruitt and Van Jefferson into the game. I think all of that is maybe, something that's not working, and they should really reevaluate that before they get to the postseason.
Ray, is it fair to expect even close to the offensive output that we saw on the 1st of December against this same Bengals defense?
I mean, it was cold that day, but it was pretty good conditions for throwing the football, Don. It's going to be 18 degrees at kickoff, I think, on Saturday night. I think chance for snow throughout the day. So, I mean, who knows in that type of game. It'd probably be a few more incomplete passes. You're not going to be able to throw the ball deep down the field like you would maybe in a game where, the weather is a little bit better. But I think the Steelers, they're not going to be able to just go into this game and run the football and try to possess the ball for 35 minutes and think they can keep up with Joe Burrow and company. I mean, Higgins is healthy now. Chase has been Chase all season, and Burrow is playing at an absolutely phenomenal level. So they've been averaging 30 points a game. So if you're the Steelers, you better plan on doing like they did the last time and try to get 31, 38, 44 points if you want to win this football game.
Ray, did Omar Khan fail and maybe fail miserably in shoring up two areas that we all knew were problematic coming into the season, and that is secondary depth and receiver depth? The moves were a Mike Williams here, a Van Jefferson there, a drafting a Roman Wilson, a Cam Sutton here. Deshaun Elliott was a great move. Sutton here, whoever else there. What kind of job did he do shoring up those two areas, Dante Jackson?
I would think, if you would ask Omar in a private moment, I think he probably thought Cam Sutton coming back would have been much more beneficial than it has been to this point. So I don't really fault him for that. I think, Cam was very well respected here the first time around, and absolutely nobody criticized that as a football move when that was made. Now, it hasn't turned out great, but I don't think anyone could look back and say it was a bad move back in June or July, whenever that happened. But I do agree with you about receiver. Maybe they could have given up a little bit more. Maybe they should have gone over 28 or 30 million if they really wanted Ayuk. Maybe that would have solved some of their issues. But, I mean, listen, Ayuk got injured, three or four games into the season? You can't account for that type of stuff too. So if you give away draft picks and you pay him, then it gets injured, then you're probably right where you are now anyway. But I think on the whole, I agree with you. I think they're probably could have done a little bit more at receiver than they did in the summertime.
Ray, speaking of Dante Jackson, is he going to play tomorrow night?
Well, he told Brian Bacco yesterday that it's pretty much day to day. And that back has kind of been an issue for a month now. He'll start a game, he'll come out. They'll have to go with Pierre and Trice the rest of the game, or there was that one instance where he couldn't play at all. So even if he does dress, Donnie, I think this is a situation where Trice and Pierre, all those guys got to be ready. I don't think it's the worst thing. Terrell Austin and Mike Tomlin talked about it when Porter and Trice came in that same draft. They wanted those long athletic corners to shut down guys like T. Higgins and Jamar Chase. And if they get forced into action tomorrow night, I don't think it's the worst thing. Let's let's see what Trace has, and you know, maybe you discover something going into the playoffs.
Getting back to Sutton, I don't know, Ray, if I totally agree with you. Nobody questioned the move. He stunk last year. Now, he was playing outside.
Yeah.
He was put in a different situation. Right. But given his severe off-the-field issue, combined with horrendous year, I recall saying, I'm not sure if this is the greatest signing in the world here. But I'll give you that, hey, he's coming back to this system, blah, blah, blah. So let's update it. Why is he still? Why does Beanie Bishop not play at all? He had zero defensive snaps. The last I checked, he at least won them a game. He has three interceptions. They're 8-2 when he plays. I'm not saying just because of him, and 2-4 right. when he doesn't. Why isn't he on the field?
Well, you lose versatility. Beanie Bishop can basically only play in the slot. Cam Sutton can play all over. They haven't used him much at outside corner, but he has dropped back. And played safety, and
you could phrase that Cam Sutton can't play all over, can't play anywhere. Yeah. He's horrible.
But I mentioned this earlier in the week in an article, guys. Cam Sutton and Minkah Fitzpatrick are two of the smartest players in the Steelers defense. And I thought when Minkah spoke yesterday, you know, Minkah didn't talk after any of these past three games, so this was really the first shot we had at Minkah. He kind of explained some things that the communication, I think, from Patrick Queen and maybe Deshaun Elliott, it's not the same as it was in previous years. And I think it's hard for me to sit here and say, boy, Minkah and Cam are blowing coverages because they're too dumb to pick up the defense. I think the coverages are being blown because there's miscommunication and these guys haven't played together in the past. Now, you could say, that's the coach's fault. You know, this stuff should have been cleared up in August and September. I agree with you. But it's hard for me to sit here and say, knowing what they've done in the past, that all of this is on Minkah and Cam Sutton when we know what their reputations are and we know how smart and how intelligent they are as football players.
Yeah, Ray, why are we seeing so many, really on both sides of the ball, but we're talking about the defense. I mean, we're going into the final week of the regular season. I could understand if it was 4 months ago and there were communication issues, even 3 months ago, you're starting to work the kinks out. It's guys who haven't played together a whole lot. But it seems like they are way too late in the season for these to happen this frequently.
Yeah, the way Minkah explained it yesterday, every team communicates differently. And you do have two former Ravens in Elliott and Queen who are, you know, in key roles in that defense, you know. Queen has the green dot. He is calling every single play. And Elliott, as a strong safety, is involved in those calls as well, in the back end, in the secondary. So, Minkah said it's not going to be an issue this week because they've added layers to the communication. They're now going to voice it, and they're going to do hand signals. So, you know, again, there's no explanation why this stuff wasn't happening in September and October and November, but at least it's being addressed now.
Donnie, we've buried the lead and welcomed everybody out there on a Donnie Football Friday. Ray Fittipaldo was on this very station yesterday, and the quote was, I'll tell you what, if you don't sign George Pickens, you better trade him, Ray?
Yeah, that's what we were, I brought up what Caboli brought up maybe a month or two ago, and, it just, more and more, I'm starting to agree with Mark that if you don't have George under contract, he might be a little bit even more of a headache than he is now. So I just think that's something you have to think about.
What could they get for him, do you think? And what would be the alternative? Maybe sign a T. Higgins? Or I guess that's a two-part question. What could they get for Pickens, and who could replace him?
Yeah, so we know what the – you know, if you look at Pickens the same way as Ayuk, I think a lot of the offers were like in that first or second round range. So if the Steelers can get like a second round pick, that would probably be the price. And then obviously the acquiring team would have to have plans to sign him to a new deal. They wouldn't want to acquire a guy just for 1 year, I wouldn't think. So, to me, guys, if he's not one of your guys that you signed before the season, you think it's hard now dealing with George Pickens? What's it going to be like when he knows it's his last season next year? That's what my point was.
I mean, I think that's a great point to make, but it's they've painted themselves into that corner because they don't have the second option at receiver that they've had so many times in the past.
Exactly. Yep.
Donnie, may I engage Ray in a game of free association?
Yes, you may.
Ray, let's make this our greatest game ever. Quick questions, quick answers, even if it's one word. And a lot of this is sort of with an angle toward contracts that may be coming up. Who's buzzing me? What's happening?
That's Ray getting text messages, I think.
No, Ray, you're getting somebody getting traded? What's happening?
No, I forgot to put on my do not disturb. My bad.
That's okay. Patrick Queen, give him a grade for the season.
C+.
Minka, grade for the season.
B-.
Percent chance Najee will be back.
Let's go 10%.
Percent chance Pickens will be back.
30.
Percent chance Pickens will have a big new deal with the Steelers.
20.
Would you rather have George Pickens or T. Higgins on your team?
That's a tough one because I don't really know Higgins, what he's like off the field, but I'd probably lean Higgins.
Next year is the last year for T.J. Watt on his deal, and usually they sign guys going into their final year. A big, huge new deal for T.J.?
A new deal. I don't know if he'll be like the highest played player again, but yeah, I think they'll sign him.
Percent chance they would trade T.J. Watt, especially if they don't even win a playoff game?
1%.
Ogunjobi, next year is his last year. He has a $10 million hit. Is he back?
I think so, yes.
Oh, for God's sakes, Ray. When are they going to stop this with him?
Who's going to replace him, Joe?
Anybody. I don't know. Somebody else who can get a 50 grade from Pro Football Focus. I don't know. Will Justin Fields be back?
No.
Russell back?
Yes.
Dan Moore re-up?
No.
Jaylen Warren re-up?
Of course.
Who's your MVP of the league?
Josh Allen.
Who's your defensive player of the year?
T.J. Watt.
And who's your coach of the year?
I'd probably go with Campbell or O'Connell. I'll go with O'Connell just because I don't think as much was expected, and you have that situation with Sam Darnold and McCarthy there. I think got to give it to O'Connell, in my opinion.
Thank you, Ray. I have no further questions.
Joe, I want to jump in there.
Please,
with one.
Yes.
Because you asked him about Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
What price tag for Russell Wilson?
Give him an over-under, Donnie, per year.
$36 million per year.
Under.
$34 million per year.
Yeah, right about there. I'd say like 30 or 33. Not that you want to play hardball with the guy, but like Russ enjoys it here. Who wants to be 37 and starting over? I wouldn't go over 35 for Russell Wilson.
What if he stinks?
And I would draft a quarterback. I would draft a quarterback in the next year or two as well.
What if he stinks in the next two games, particularly in the playoff game?
Yeah.
What if he has a Flacco playoff game? Does that make the difference?
Yeah. I mean, it would have to look really bad, but I don't think I'm going to have my mind changed at this point.
Thank you, Ray.
All right, guys, enjoy the games this weekend.
Thanks, Ray.
What a nice man he is, huh, Donnie? There was a lot there, wasn't there?
I think you guys did have your best game of free association.
I thought that was pretty good, and then you came in overtime with a field goal.
I wanted to figure out his answer.
That was really good. Yeah, that was great.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
It's the greatest game on earth, deemed so by Ripley's Believe It or Don't limits. It's called the numbers game. Me against Donnie. Donnie against me. Welcome to a Donnie Football Friday. Now we go rapid fire with numbers pertaining to this game, pertaining to the NFL in general, pertaining to anything, really. Donnie, do you have a number?
So I do want to start with this one. It's outside of this game, but it has to do with the other game in the AFC North,
yes,
which is tomorrow at 4:30. And we'll get more into this with our buddy Nick Costos in a little bit. The number is 20. The Browns right now are 20-point underdogs against the Ravens tomorrow. That is a laughable number. Not laughable as if I don't think the Ravens can cover that. I just don't remember seeing a number quite that high in the NFL in a long time. 20 points? 20 points in an NFL game?
Wait a second. How many touchdowns does Joe Burrow need to get? He only has 42, right? Am I wrong about that or am I right?
He has 42.
I saw a story the other day that he's a chance to get 50. He'd need 8 touchdown passes, Donnie. What is happening
here?
Well,
that would lead to a lot of miscommunication in that Steelers secondary.
Yeah, actually, now that I think about it, I wouldn't put it past him. My number is 435. I'm going back to the Mike DeFabo number that blew my mind. The Steelers have run 435 first down plays this season. They rank last in the NFL in first down efficiency. Last in the NFL, Donnie. I mean, what an indictment, because you spend your whole week trying to get it right on the early downs, right? Try to get yourself on schedule, as Tomlin likes to say. That's an unbelievable indictment of our friend Artie.
I will give the number 520. The amount of yards from scrimmage the Steelers produced in that first matchup against Cincinnati. I don't know if they can quite replicate that. I mean, that was one of the best offensive outputs.
How about the other
guys?
How many did the other guys get in that game? Limits, can you look that up? I'd be interested in an accompanying number there.
They had,
I bet, 450 at least.
375.
That's it?
Yeah.
And, well, they only got 31 points offensively, 38
total.
Yeah,
they only ran for 93.
I got another number for you, Donnie. I still can't get over the DeFabo number. This one's 2.0. That's Najee Harris's rushing average on first downs when they go with their three tight end package. 2 yards a carry. Artie, when you go out there with three tight ends, everybody knows you're running the ball. Stop doing that. They're so utterly predictable.
They love the 13 and 14 personnel.
Oh, they love that. Except the only problem is it doesn't work.
The defense, the opposing defense loves it too, apparently.
Oh, I'll give you another one.
Just read.
I'll give you another one, Donnie. 1.3. 1.3. That's Najee's yards per carry on 22 first down plays when they had three tight ends and Connor Hayward in there included with that fullback tight end package. So their big package on first downs nets Najee 1.3 yards a carry. Here's the amazing part about that. It's happened 22 times. Do you think after time number 9 or 13 or 15, Mike Tomlin would say to Artie Smith during the week, Artie, that package we run on first downs with Najee, it's really not working, and that's not strong enough. He averages 1 yard a carry. 22 times they've banged their head into that wall. I'm sorry, Donnie. Do you have a number?
I will stay on the Najee yards per carry. I'll say 4.4. That is what he averages at home compared to just 3.7 yards per carry on the road. So a little bit better.
Holy bird.
In the home venue.
You know what? I'm going to stay on that theme too. 4.1. You know what that is, Donnie?
No.
4.1. That's Matt Canada's yards per rush. Oh, he wasn't a running back, but he might have been pretty good at it. The last full season under Canada, the Steelers averaged 4.1 yards per carry. And then they bulked up and they brought in Andy Weidel and they brought in a bunch of offensive linemen and they brought in Artie Smith. And they were going to be the Steelers of the 70s and line up with three tight ends and Connor Hayward at fullback. Guess how many yards they're averaging now, Donnie?
4.1.
Very good. After all of that, Limits, they're still averaging 4.1 yards per carry as a team. Bring back Canada. Do you have a number?
I'll give you some numbers with fours and ones. 414, that's what Wilson threw for in Cincy earlier this year. Second most in his entire career.
Wow. I got a number for you. It's a little less than that. It's one. Will Chris Oladokun attempt his first NFL pass this weekend and maybe come into the game for Carson Wentz and lead the Chiefs past the Broncos, which would precipitate maybe one of the great collapses in NFL history? I mean, the Broncos were basically in the playoffs. If they don't make it now, will Chris Oladokun attempt a pass in that game?
Are you actually asking me that?
Yes,
I am.
Because
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say Carson Wentz is in that whole game. Man, but what a little run it's been, though, for former Steelers backups. Pickett's playing.
They're all throwing touchdown passes.
Last week, we had the Holy Trinity, Pickett, Trubisky, and Rudolph all throwing touchdown passes.
Plus, I've seen
Josh Dobbs led a touchdown drive last week.
Yes, I was just going to say. So why shouldn't Oladukun get in the act here?
Somebody dust off Charlie Batch and Tommy Maddox.
You got a number?
I do. 85. This goes to the Bengals defensive side of the ball, and who I think is one of the most underrated players in football, Trey Hendrickson. 85 pressures this season from him. That is second in the league. 14 sacks is tied for first. I just said it right there. I'll say it again. I think he is among the most underrated players in all of football. I feel like he does this stuff every year, just puts together great year after great year, and nobody really talks about him.
That's a great number, Donnie, but I have an unfortunate one to accompany that. One. The first time around against the Steelers this year, Trey Hendrickson had one tackle. Maybe the better number is zero, because Trey Hendrickson had zero solo tackles, zero sacks, zero tackles for loss, and one quarterback hit. They completely controlled him the first time around. Dan Moore with some help. That might have been his greatest NFL game.
Yeah, he did do very well in that first matchup. That'll obviously be another big one to look for tomorrow night. Three, the Bengals would be one of three teams in NFL history to miss the playoffs despite throwing 40 or more touchdown passes if they don't get in. The offense is scary to a level where I said before that game last week, and you won't like this given your childhood love for this team. If I'm Buffalo, if I'm the Bills and their fans, I am praying that it is Denver or Miami coming to town and not Cincinnati. I want no part of this guy.
They've already lost a home playoff game to Cincinnati a couple of years ago. By the way, this isn't the numbers game, but what about Zach Taylor for Coach of the Year, Donnie? We give out statues in this town for guys who finish 9-8 with big late-season surges. What about him? Isn't he a great coach now? They've had a winning streak. They might finish 9-8. Make a statue of him. Throw him in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Get him a Netflix special. Zach Taylor, Coach of the Year.
And if that game would have gone the other way last week, I think he would have been Zach Taylor potentially unemployed by season's end because of the way that they handled the clock at the end of that game.
Yeah. Oh, boy. It was brutal. I have a number for you, Donnie, only I'm going to go the long way toward it in the form of a question. If the Steelers lose out, it would be a 5-game losing streak. How many other 5-game losing streaks have the Steelers had under Mike Tomlin, including playoff games, if you want to tack that on? How many others, Donnie?
I'll go 4.
One.
Ooh.
One. In 2009.
We will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December because we have to. We won't go in the shell. We're going to go in attack mode.
We won't go in the shell.
Because that's what's required.
I always liked that
Only
line.
Only one. And that quote was uttered, that legendary quote, after the first two games of that losing streak. Only one other 5-game losing streak under Tomlin. But darn it, I'm giving him a chance. Do you have a number for me?
14.7.
Yes.
And this is key if T. Higgins is good to go tomorrow night. That's not official. He is questionable going into this game. But when he is active, Joe Burrow has a 14.7% explosive play rate and 38.5% first down / touchdown rate. The numbers drastically go down without Higgins in the lineup.
Yeah, and the vibe I get out of Cincy from everything I'm reading and hearing is that he's going to be ready to go because this is their season. I got an unbelievable number for you. And at the end of this, we ask Limits what the best number was. 17. That is the Steelers' points per game in 7 games against playoff opponents this season. 17. Matt Canada got fired for numbers like that. So old Artie has piled on the bad teams, but when the Steelers face a good team, the offense goes in the tank. Donnie?
100. Now, this is somebody else who is questionable going into tomorrow night, and I think given how that game ended last week, Zach Taylor getting well-deserved criticism for that. Chase Brown last week in that game in regulation against Denver. He got 100% of the rush attempts for Cincinnati. They'd go with Khalil Herbert if he can't go.
Yeah.
I mean, he's turned into a pretty damn good player.
Yeah, he is. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing HVAC provider for over 50 years. I got a number for you, Donnie. 11. That was 11 sacks for Khalil Mack back in 2016, and that's the fewest in recent memory by an edge rusher who won Defensive Player of the Year. Why do I bring that up? Because TJ only has 11 and a half sacks right now. So it would be unusual for an edge rusher with that small of a number of sacks to win Defensive Player of the Year. However, as I dive further into Mack in 2016, he did have only 11 sacks. He had 5 forced fumbles. TJ has 6 forced fumbles. He leads the NFL right now. Mack had 14 tackles for loss. TJ has 19. Mack also had a pick six as his only interception that season. He made splash plays, I remember, on national TV that people noticed. I think this is a chance for TJ to clinch player of the year, but I think if he goes like sackless and he just has another quiet game, I wonder. I saw Bill Barnwell on ESPN picks Miles Garrett. What if Miles Garrett goes out and wins the sack title this weekend? Like, I think TJ is in danger of he can lose that award this weekend.
Oh, see, I thought it was like Pat Surtain II who
he's
was
up there
the,
too. Yeah,
he's right now the favorite on a couple markets.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, well, Barnwell picked Garrett, but yes, Surtain is up there too. Man, he can win it or lose it this weekend.
That would be hollow for Garrett to win again and his team finishes 3-14.
I'm sure he wouldn't consider it hollow, though.
Oh, no. I mean, the only thing on his mind is TJ Watt.
Yeah.
That's all the dude talks about.
So does TJ win it? Does he have a big performance? He might be going up against a backup right tackle because Amarius Mims is hurt.
I get worried when this gets thrown out there because I feel like there's so many times where we get like our hand caught in the cookie jar, like, oh man, backup tackle, TJ gonna eat, baby. And he doesn't. Like, he ends up doing fine against if it was just a starter in there. But he historically does well against, obviously he plays more against the AFC North teams, but he always seems to perform.
Give me your last best number.
16. Red zone targets for Jamar Chase, that is tied for the league lead. The guy right behind him?
George Pickens.
Pickens is close with 13. T. Higgins, who is tied for second with 15.
Yeah, Donnie, I'm not loving the T. Higgins versus Dante Jackson or, God forbid, James Pierre matchup and Jamar Chase against Joey Porter or vice versa. However it shakes out, the Steelers don't have the dudes in their secondary to cover those two. It's as simple as that. It's going to come down to the pass rush and whether they can get after Burrow before he does all that damage. Limits, what was the best number of the day that you heard?
You know, Donnie has won a lot of these numbers games, but Joe, I feel like your numbers with the Najee yards per carry on first down and the rushing average with Matt Canada in his final season, comparing it to this year, same thing with the Trey Hendrickson numbers were the best numbers.
4.1, that was a good moment.
I do like those, Joe.
That was wonderful, Donnie. Another great numbers game.